Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. I hope you've had an awesome week. Last week's show, last Sunday night, we began talking about repentance. And there was a big, long introduction, which really took up like 90% of the show. And I didn't get into my notes. But it's okay, because we're in the season now of Lent. And it's a time of preparation leading up to Passover / Holy Week, the crucifixion, the resurrection. It's the approach to the events which conquer sin and death. We have to remember that Jesus conquered sin with his blood by dying on the cross. And he conquered death, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 especially, but in other places as well, that he died in order to conquer death. In other words, he died and then he rose, and death was conquered. Death is our last enemy, Paul says. It's our last enemy. It's our greatest enemy, because no one wants to die. But at the cross, sin was dealt with, and death was conquered by the resurrection. So this is the time of year. Not that we don't think about these things other times of the year, because we should think about these things every day. Because when we think about the gift of grace, which, by the way, is the name of this radio show, but when we think about the gift of grace, and when we think about the salvation that's been offered to us and given to us as a gift, it's very difficult to say, well, I'll just think about that Holy Week. I'll just think about that Good Friday and Easter Day. I'll just think about that Resurrection Day. And then the rest of the year, man, I probably won't think about it much till a year later. No, this is something that we think about all the time, because there is nothing else as important. There is nothing else as profound or as powerful that we should even give any thought to. And we're going to use tonight, and I promise we're going to get to it right now before I keep going on tangents. I should point out that if you go to the website, www.giftofgraceministries.com, I'm sorry, it's .org, giftofgraceministries.org, giftofgraceministries.org, you can find all the radio shows archived back to the beginning of 2009. So there's plenty of listening there that'll take a while, especially since the first, 8 years or so, they were an hour long. And then since then, they've been a half hour long. But it's a lot of listening time there. And you can find some other Bible study events and programs and things on that website as well. And since I'm advertising, the other website I have is www.oneinmessiah.website. Oneinmessiah.website. Yes, website is the suffix or whatever it's called. And that has more Bible studies, more audio teachings, and so forth, more from a Old Testament, New Testament perspective. And if you live in the Cleveland, Ohio area, we'd really love it if you would join us on Friday evenings, where we have a live version of One in Messiah, which is held at 709 Brook Park Road in Brooklyn Heights, 709 Brook Park Road, which is Calvary Chapel of Cleveland. And we gather there at about 6:15, usually start about 6:30. And we'd love to have you come out and say hello. But now, See, I've already diverted. Now we're going back to the show. We're going to go to the book of Jonah, because last week we talked about repentance, and we talked about how repentance is the way into the kingdom. And we talked about how John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus himself preached that the people had to repent because the kingdom of God was at hand. And of course, through all of the Old Testament, through all of the Tanakh, there is a problem of dealing with sin. And there is a problem with sin being atoned for, being covered. And this starts right in Genesis chapter 3 and goes on from there. And if you remember in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve disobeyed, they fell, and they tried to solve the problem by sewing fig leaves together and covering themselves. So that was the human plan, to literally cover the problem. But God came into the garden and said, "Where are you, Adam?" And when Adam admitted what he had done, so to speak, it wasn't really much of a repentance. But it says that God then clothed them with animal skins. So two animals died because Adam and Eve fell. And I'm going to do a whole program on that coming up, because I think it's very important, especially during this season that we're in. But I wanted to just emphasize repentance for today, for the time we have left. And we're not going to read the whole book of Jonah, because obviously the time will go by, and then I'll be saying, "Oh no, there's only 2 minutes left." But I assume you all know the story of Jonah. If you don't, then I don't know what to tell you. But to summarize, God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was a great city in Assyria. It was one of the great cities of the ancient world. It was a huge city. It took Jonah 3 days to walk across the city. And of course, it was a Gentile city. It was not a Jewish city. It was not a city where people were studying Torah. It was not a city where people were worshiping the God of Israel. It was a Gentile pagan city. But God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh with a message that if Nineveh did not repent, in 40 days' time, it would be destroyed. So the message was that there was evil going on in the city. And it says that God says that the evil has come up before me. The Hebrew means the evil has come up into my face. God was upset with this evil. He was disgusted with this evil. He was growing impatient with this evil. And so he sends a prophet to proclaim that the city has to repent or it will be destroyed. We know much later in the book of Romans that Paul says the wages of sin is death. When you sin, you die. All men sin, therefore all men die. And yes, all men die a physical death because of sin. And what's worse than a physical death is dying a spiritual death because of sin. So Jonah, of course, being almost of a 21st century AD mindset, doesn't want to do this, doesn't want to go to Nineveh, doesn't want to proclaim what God wants him to proclaim, doesn't want to tell the Ninevites that they're sinners, doesn't want to be judgmental or harm their self-esteem or hurt their feelings or all the excuses that we hear today. Sadly, we hear those excuses in the church as much as we hear them in the secular world. But as you know, Jonah ran to the dock, to the marina, bought a ticket to get on a ship that was going to Tarshish, which is in the total opposite direction of Nineveh, and thought he was going to get away from God and away from this plan and away from this responsibility that he had. similar to what people today are doing, so to speak. They don't want the responsibility of what God would have them do, or what their call to discipleship might be, or to what their prophetic call might be. They just want to live their life and not be bothered by anything. They want to enjoy their time. They want to have a nice job. They want to get a nice car. They want to have some money in the bank. They want to have a nice retirement plan. And they don't want to do what they're called to do. So as you know, there's a storm. Jonah admits to the Gentile sailors that he's the cause of this. They throw him overboard at his insistence, and the storm stops. He's swallowed up by a fish, a great fish. In every children's story, it's a whale, but scripturally, it's called a great fish. And so this big fish swallows Jonah up, and he lives for 3 days in the fish's belly. And this is what much later in time, Yeshua himself, Jesus himself, will say the generation he was living in will be given the sign of the prophet Jonah. And then in case they don't understand what that means, he expands on it by saying, the son of, just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. So this was a prefigurement of what was going to happen to Messiah. This was a foretelling of what was going to happen to Messiah. So when Jonah's inside the belly of this great fish, he comes to his senses. You know, the prodigal son came to his senses. Hopefully, if you've been living in a life of sin and rebellion, there comes a time when you come to your senses. And like the prodigal son said, what am I doing here? I'm going to go home. I'm going to go back to my father's house. I'd rather be my father's servant than live the way I'm living now. So in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. So now Jonah knows that God is very displeased. He has now understood this sense of disobedience, that he has sinned by not obeying God's command and by not accepting the mission that God had for him. He didn't want to do this mission. He didn't want to follow this mission. He went so far as to run away. He went so far as to buy a boat ticket to a destination that was 180 degrees opposed to where he was supposed to go. Now he's been through this distress, and he understands now that this has happened because of his disobedience. Now, this doesn't happen to us on a day-to-day basis as we disobey. There was a teacher that I heard once, a preacher that I heard once, and I can't remember who it was, but he said our lives would be much different if punishment for a sin came immediately after the sin was committed. But it generally does not do that. We may see the consequences of the sin at some point in the near future. As the book of Proverbs says, sin gives pleasure for a season. For a while, it seems like it's a nice thing to do. It's a cool thing to do. It's a fun thing to do. But after a period of time, that fades. And this faded really quick with Jonah, because now he's praying in his distress. He's humbled and he's softened by what's happened. And we know that God welcomes this. King David, when he wrote Psalm 51, you know, he talks about how he wants to have a contrite heart, that God will not reject a contrite heart. He will reject a prideful heart, a hard heart, but he won't reject a contrite heart. God welcomes this. And even though Jonah caused the situation, and even though in our rebellion and in our sin, we caused the situation that whatever the situation is that we're put in because of it, we cause it. God appreciates the fact that we have a humble and contrite heart, that we realize that we've done wrong, and we turn to him, just like Jonah does in this passage. And again, as we talked about last week, this is the repentance that leads into the kingdom. So we have access to him despite our offenses. We have a hope of deliverance. We have a hope of mercy despite our offenses and our rebellion and our sin. And Jonah shows that. He was literally in the depths, as he says he was in the depths of Sheol. He was literally in the depths. He was in the belly of the fish. That's pretty amazing. And he had been fleeing from God, but now he wants to return to him. And this is why we always talk about the word the New Testament uses for repentance, which is metanoia. It's a change of heart, a change of mind. It's a change of direction. Jonah now is fleeing, but he turns 180 degrees and is now going to where he was supposed to go in the first place. And he prays, and he trusts that he's going to be heard. When we turn and repent of our sin, we trust that we're going to be heard, because a humble and contrite heart is never rejected. And this is like a grave to Jonah. He's in the belly of the fish. He calls it Sheol, which was a place of the dead. And God hears him from there. He hears this voice of supplication and uses him in the mission despite the fact that Jonah has disobeyed, despite the fact that he went to such lengths to go in the opposite direction that he was supposed to go in. He accepts Jonah's plea, and he understands now that Jonah has turned back to him, that Jonah has now regretted what he did, repented of what he did, and is now ready to go to do the mission that he was called to do in the first place, and that his rejection had led to all these terrible circumstances, but now he was being delivered from them. So it's really pretty amazing. So to Nineveh, this great city, you know, it's, God says, the evil has come up to me. And God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh and to cry against the evil, to cry against the evil, not talk about it in secret, not whisper, not calling some people together and saying, well, you know, you guys, things aren't really, you know, this isn't really going very well here. And the God of Israel is getting pretty upset with you. But, I mean, I don't want to hurt your feelings or anything. No, he's to go there and cry against this. He's there to call it out, as we might say. So now he accepts the mission. God never mentions his disobedience to him again. We would think in our humanity that Jonah was disqualified, but he wasn't. He still used to get back into the plan, and God gives him the plan. He has to go there and cry out against the evil, and he goes immediately. So after his rebellion, after his affliction, he gets the grace and the power to go there and proclaim this message that the city has to repent. It's a message to this great Gentile city. And the text tells us that Jonah goes through the city crying this out. He doesn't alter the message. God gives him the message again. Jonah gives the people of Nineveh the message just as God has told him the message. He doesn't change it. He doesn't alter the message in a way to make it more palatable, to make it a little softer, to make it a little less harsh, to make it less judgmental, like the church is doing now. We're all nice. Everyone's nice. Everybody's good. Isn't this wonderful? See you next week. This is not the message of repentance. This is not the repentance of the gospel. So Jonah does not change the message. He says 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And they knew that the punishment was going to come from God. It wasn't going to come from Jonah. The message was from God. The punishment would come from God. So the city had a certain amount of time to think about this, to contemplate this, to consider this, and then decide whether to repent or not. In other words, the wickedness of the place, the wickedness of this city, cried out for judgment, but there was time to avert the judgment. And interestingly enough, the people believed Jonah's message, and they began to repent. Everyone in the city, everyone in the kingdom. And this was real repentance. This wasn't giving up candy for Lent kind of repentance. This was sackcloth, ashes, and fasting. The king of the place, the king of Assyria, repented, fasted, put on sackcloth and ashes, humbled himself before God. The king proclaims there's going to be a fast and this repentance through the whole kingdom, through his whole kingdom. And it's going to involve people and animals. In other words, it's going to affect everybody and everything in the kingdom. And he hopes that by this repentance, this pretty radical repentance, fasting, ashes, sackcloth, he hopes that God will relent from the punishment. And it's also interesting to see in these texts that Jonah did not tell them how to repent. They believed the message, and they realized that they had to do physical and emotional repentance. They believed it. They had humble and contrite hearts through the whole kingdom. It was even extended to the animals. So this great city in this great kingdom had everyone, including the king, repenting, praying, fasting, and imploring God to relent from the punishment. And God relented from the punishment. So the city was spared. Whatever the horrible judgment that was going to come on Nineveh if they did not repent was averted. All because Jonah took the message, and the message was repentance. John the Baptist's message was repentance. Jesus himself, the message was repentance. Peter, our friend, Peter, on Pentecost morning, said, repent and be baptized. This is what you must do. The people said, brethren, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized. So repentance is the key. So when God saw that they had turned away from what they were doing, again, metanoia, they turned in an opposite direction, they turned away from their evil, the punishment was averted. So in closing this whole thing about Nineveh and Jonah, I want you to keep in mind something. As I mentioned, Nineveh was this great Gentile city. It wasn't a Jewish city. They didn't have the law of Moses. They didn't have the Torah. They didn't have prophets. They didn't have the scrolls. They didn't have any of the traditions of the fathers. They had none of that. But they repented. Israel had many prophets, and they continued in rebellion. They killed the prophets. They brutalized the prophets that were their own people. Nineveh had one prophet who was a stranger. They heard the message, and they repented. This is really quite remarkable. They saw the danger, and they repented. Whew, I know the music's been playing. Well, thanks for listening, and join us again next week at Gift of Grace, where we'll read and teach God's Word, and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have a great week.